this question. Is it rational? Is it scientific? Is it logical to believe in God? This question is forced upon us because the culture that we live in today wants to tell us that you cannot believe in God unless you are stupid. You cannot believe in God unless you are unscientific or ignorant. That's what is being told to us day in and day out by the world. Okay, that's why we are face to face with this question. Is belief in God rational? Rational means logical, sensible. If there's a word that comes which you do not know, you should ask the meaning of. Yeah. So that's what I was saying. We read these verses in the morning. Psalm 14:1. You remember what the verse was saying? The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. So according to the Bible, a sensible, rational, or a person who is interested in the truth, a truth-loving person would definitely believe in God. Whereas those who don't want to face the truth, or those who just don't care, they are called fools in the Bible. They are the ones who deny the existence of God. Romans 1:20 was saying that what? Yeah, what happened to that? What was Romans 1:20? What was the message of Romans 1:20? Yes, the existence of God can be concluded from the universe. His invisible attributes like His power and so on, they can be concluded from the universe. So there is no... Everyone is without excuse. There is no excuse for people. Okay, because the existence of God is actually evident from the universe around us. Then I divided the universe into two parts. First part is non-living and living. The Bible talks about both. Psalm 19:1 says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament declares His handiwork. So the non-living universe gives glory to God. And Psalm 139:14, and there are many other verses. Psalm 139:14 says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, so it's talking about how the living things, the living matter, our own bodies are a testimony to the Creator. Personally, my point of view is this. Probably not everyone would agree with me, but I look at it this way. Living things provide evidence of God, and more than non-living things, it is the living things, according to me at least, that provide evidence for God. The non-living things tell us something more about this God. The heavens declare the glory of God after you have understood that God already exists. But more than the non-living things, at least in my opinion, it is the living things which really demand that we believe that God exists. Okay. Now, why is this? Because living things have some special features. I mentioned information content. Information content means? Or what is this referring to? Yeah. Something that carries information. In our bodies, it is the DNA that carries information. Okay. Amazing design. There are some creatures which are extremely well designed. Right? Well designed. Now, when we look at any system which is well designed, it seems quite evident that somebody must have taken the trouble to design it. Some creative person must have designed it. When we look at our bodies, we find that they are extremely well designed. Have you heard of Charles Darwin? Charles Darwin is famous for what? Theory of evolution. So Charles Darwin was the person who first put forward a theory which tried to say that without the existence of God, everything came on its own. There are many things that Charles Darwin did not know that we know today, because we have equipment today which is much better than what Charles Darwin had. For instance, during Charles Darwin's time, it was thought that the cells in our body are just simple small spots, simple small spheres. But today we have very good microscopes, so we know the structure of the cell in detail. So there we can see much more design. Okay. So design suggests that living things have been made by a creator. Then you remember what I explained the meaning of irreducible complexity? No, that's not. Yes. If you remove one component, then the whole thing falls down. That feature of a system is called irreducible complexity. Okay. Then catch 22 features. Catch 22 features means, in order to have A, you have to have B. But in order to have B, you have to have A also. This kind of feature also suggests that we have been made by a creator. If we have not been made by a creator, we have been made by natural processes. According to Darwin's theory of evolution, all organisms have arisen out of slow, step-by-step processes. That's why these things are so important. Why is catch 22 such a big deal? Because in a slow, step-by-step process, A and B cannot come together. Either A had to come first with one step or many steps, and then many more steps would have been needed to create B. So the existence of both A and B together suggests that it was all made once at a time. Okay. So you have to keep this in mind, that if you don't believe in God, then you believe that all things, all living things, all the mechanisms in living things, they arose out of small step-by-step processes. Step-by-step processes cannot create systems which are like catch 22 or which have irreducible complexity. Yeah, what is over-engineering? No, what's the meaning of over-engineering? Yeah, providing features that are not necessary. According to Darwin's theory, every animal has those features which are necessary for its survival. According to Darwin's theory, suppose we have two types of people. Suppose we have got, say, fair people and dark people. And suppose the environment is such that dark people can flourish well in the environment. Then what will happen is, dark people only will survive and fair people will get extinct. So whatever is needed for survival, those are the features that get developed. Okay, let me give you another example. Suppose we were all people, and suppose I was a mutant. Suppose I was a person in whose birth some accident happened. When I was conceived in my mother's womb, suppose there was an accident. And so I was born slightly different. Like I was born with six fingers, suppose. So I'm a mutant. And there are some people living in our society, suppose, with six fingers. Now, according to Darwin's theory, suppose it is better to have six fingers for your survival than to have five fingers. Then what will happen is, the people with six fingers will be flourishing. Those people with five fingers will not be able to flourish. So after some time, everyone will have six fingers. All the six-fingered people only will have more children. And they'll give birth to six-fingered children. And all the five-fingered people will not be surviving. So they'll have less children. Finally, they will die out. Okay. So if six fingers is good for survival, then, and only then, should we expect people to have six fingers. That's what Darwin's theory says. So according to Darwin's theory, whatever you expect to see in an organism should have those features that are good for survival. Not extra stuff. But according to the Bible, God created animals, plants, God created human beings. Did He create us for the purpose of survival? No. He created us for a very different purpose. So it is very much expected that He would give us a lot of extra faculties, a lot of extra abilities, which we may not need just for survival. Are you understanding this? Okay. Let's look at each of these features now in some detail. Okay, DNA contains information, that is software. If there is no God, then it means that one day there were some chemicals which came together and formed the first cell. That's what the theory of evolution says. That one day there were chemicals, they came together and formed the first cell. Understanding? And then afterwards that cell reproduced, multiplied, got modified, and finally became apes and became man. That's what the theory of evolution says. Okay. Now, chemical reactions supposedly form the first cell, but chemical reactions never produce information. Can someone illustrate or elaborate on this? Anyone knows what I'm trying to say when I say chemical reactions never produce information? Anyone knows an example of a chemical reaction? Anyone can give example of a chemical reaction? Loudly. NaOH plus HCl. NaOH plus HCl gives NaCl plus H2O. This is an example of an acid reacts with a base and produces salt and water. The properties of the salt and the water, the properties of the react, the properties of the products can be predicted from the properties of the reactants. As an example, NaOH is a strong base and HCl is a strong acid. So knowing this, we can predict the properties of the products. For instance, NaCl is a salt of a strong acid and a strong base. So a solution of NaCl is neither acidic nor basic. That's a property of NaCl solution. It is predicted on the basis of the reactants. Okay. If you have, if there are 11th and 12th standard students, you would have studied about the heat of the reaction. Whenever a strong base reacts with a strong acid, there's a definite amount of heat that is released. Right? For one mole, it's 57 kilojoules of heat is released. So this can be predicted knowing the reactants. All the properties of the products or the reactions can be predicted on the basis of the reactants. Is this clear? This means that no information has been generated. Information being generated means something like a new idea. Let this baby have blue eyes. That's a statement. That's a new thing. That is an example of information. If I write down, let this baby have new eyes, have blue eyes, that would be an example of generation of information. Before that, there was no thought about baby, there was no thought about eyes, there was no thought about color of the eyes. But now I'm saying, manufacture blue eyes for the baby. That is an example of what a gene would do, and that is an example of information. Suppose our NaCl and our water, suppose if the water evaporates, then the NaCl will form crystals. And the crystals are in a good order. There is a systematic order in the crystals. So what the atheists will say is that, can't you see that we can have order out of chaos? When we have NaCl and water, it's all chaos. And then when the NaCl gets crystallized, you get salt crystals, very orderly, beautiful crystals. You get order out of chaos. So the atheist is asking this question. Here is an example of order coming out of chaos. So why can't we have a living cell coming out of chemical reactions? And the answer for that is, the answer for that is, always remember, information. When the salt solution crystallizes and becomes salt, no information is generated. For instance, we know the properties of the salt crystals because we already know the properties of NaCl. Okay, as an example, we know about the size of the sodium ion and the chloride ion, and using that you can predict the structure of crystalline NaCl. Okay, so you can predict even the products, the crystalline products, based on the reactants. So no information is being generated. But if chemicals were to come together to form a cell, information has to be generated. Are you understanding the difference? Forget about order, forget about complexity, forget about everything else. But remember, the key is information. Information is something different from order. Okay, all these tiles are in squares, right? All are square tiles. All are tiles of the same size. Is there order? Yes. Is there information? No. This is clear. But suppose somebody wrote something on the tiles. That would be an example of information. Are you understanding? There's a difference. So you can have order coming out of chaos, but you cannot have information coming out of chaos. That's the difference. Is this clear? So the living cell contains information, and chemical reactions have never been known to produce information. Is this clear? That has to be very clear. Then random changes. There was Noah and there was his wife. And today in the world there are black people, white people, brown people. Right? How does that happen? Just one couple, Noah and his wife. And today we have so many people who look so different also. How does that happen? Sorry? Lovely. Lovely, sir. Okay, crossing of genes. When parents give birth to offspring, it's possible for genes to combine in different ways. So because of that, the offspring can be varied. Okay, today we have got Labradors, we have got Pomeranians, we have got German Shepherds, we have got Dobermans, we have got Bulldogs, we have got Paria dogs. Did Noah take all of them on the ship? No. There is no place on the ark for millions of animals. Right? But Noah was asked to take two of every kind. Two of every kind. So Noah must have taken some dog kind on board. And from that dog kind, we have got small dogs like the Chihuahua. We have got big dogs like the German Shepherds. Okay, so a lot of variation is possible. Because it is possible for genes to get crossed. There's another way for variation to take place, and that is because of copying errors. Because of copying errors. Like for instance, suppose there is a gene that produces some substance that enables me to digest milk. Okay, suppose I have a gene that enables me to that produces a substance that helps me to digest milk. Because of a mutation, that gene can get knocked off. Then I will be allergic to milk. I will not have that substance which enables my body to digest milk. So I'll become allergic to milk. So you had parents who could drink milk, but it's possible to have children who are allergic to milk. Are you understanding this? So this is called a mutation, a random change. Okay. So it is possible for random changes to take place in a person's when the parents are giving birth to the offspring. So in this way, the offspring can be different from the parents. Now, what you need to understand is that this is not evolution. This kind of random change cannot produce humans from apes. Now, can you say why? Again, remember, it is lovely. Information. Random changes never add information. Suppose you're typing an article. You're typing an article from the paper onto the computer. You make a mistake, the article will not become more informative. Are you understanding this? Is this clear? The article will not become more informative by making random mistakes. So we see these random changes, these mutations all around us. But that's not the kind of stuff that can turn frogs to people or apes to people. Are you understanding this? You must understand this. Why is things like swine flu and all, why are they so dangerous? Or why is it so difficult to handle these diseases? Because these germs, they have a tendency to mutate. So suppose you have a medicine that works for certain germs. Then you find that the virus has mutated. The virus has gone a change. And because of that, the medicine no longer works. Are you understanding this? Have you heard of drug-resistant malaria? So first the organism was such that it could get killed by our medicine. Now the organism is not getting killed by our medicine. So what will the atheist tell you? See, the organism is evolving. The organism is becoming stronger. The organism is getting fitter. See, first your medicines could kill it. Now your medicines are not able to kill it. The organism is becoming fitter. Okay. But what you need to realize is that when an organism becomes resistant to drugs, it is not because there has been an increase in its information of the DNA. How does a medicine work? A medicine will work by attaching itself to some part of the organism. It's like a key that goes inside a lock. Now, suppose the shape of the lock undergoes a random change. Will the key be able to go in again? No. So the medicine won't be able to target the organism again. So now the medicine will not work. But this does not mean that the organism has become closer to human beings. It does not mean that the information in its DNA has increased. Are you getting the difference? Are you understanding the difference? Okay. The difference between drug resistance and an increase in the DNA. If an amoeba has to become a human being, what has to happen to its DNA? There has to be an increase in the information. That is necessary. An amoeba does not have eyes. You know what is amoeba? It's a small unicellular organism. Amoeba does not have eyes, amoeba does not have ears, amoeba does not have brains, amoeba does not have hands. So all this software has to be generated. Okay, manufacture two hands. Each hand should have five fingers. These should be the properties of the nails. These should be the lengths of the five fingers. These should be the marks on the hands. Genes are needed to make all those instructions. Amoeba does not have those genes. So information has to be generated. But we never find information being generated in organisms. All these random changes might result in drug resistance, but not an increase in the information. Is this clear to everyone? So two things, chemical reactions and mutations or random changes in genes. They never produce information. Yeah, are you understanding this? Are you understanding the meaning of this statement? Yeah? We know that Windows 7 exists. This means that there was some intelligent programmer who made Windows 7. Are you understanding this? Frame a question like this. If you keep plastic together and wires together and switches and all that together, will a computer form? No. But actually, that's a wrong question. The correct question is, if you keep plastic, switches, batteries and all that together, will Windows XP result? Absolutely not. Is this clear? Software, we have to stop thinking of the hardware and think of the software. Okay. Wires and batteries and all are hardware. With hardware, you can get only hardware. You can never get software. But organisms consist of software. We have software in our DNA. Software only comes when an intelligent person acts. Is this clear? So since we have software in our DNA, it means that we have been created. Are you understanding this? So what you should be telling your atheist friends is that if you want to be logical, you have to believe in God. You cannot be an atheist without being illogical. Logic demands that you believe in God because we have software and it is logical that software is only produced by the actions of an intelligent person. So there must be an intelligent creator who made all the software that's there inside our DNA. So if you want to be logical, you have to believe in God. Okay, many examples of amazing design. Sea urchins are creatures that live on the bottom of the sea and they bite into limestone. You know, limestone is the stuff of which marble and all that is made. They bite into limestone, but they have teeth that are so strong, and scientists have been investigating the structure of the teeth and they found that there is a very creative arrangement of different types of compounds and crystals inside the teeth that make their teeth very strong. Okay. These are creatures that bite stones, limestone. Okay. You know what is refractive index? Heard the term? Okay, if you don't know what is refractive index, think of it as something like thickness. How heavy or how thick a material is. So in the eyes of all species, we have got lenses, and those lenses have got varying thickness. Like one part of the lens might be sort of thin and another part might be thick. It all varies according to a certain precise pattern, and that is helpful for seeing properly. The eye lens is suspended in the eye, and it's supported by hundreds of different ligaments, small muscles which support the eye. So the eye is an example of a very well designed organ, and it suggests that there was a creator who designed the eye. Okay. Yeah, gecko means the lizards. Lizards are able to stick on the walls. How do the lizards stick on the walls? You must have studied some explanation in school, did you? Lovely, yeah. Yeah. Lizards stick on the walls because they press their feet in such a way that a vacuum is generated inside. And outside there is air, so the air pressure keeps the limbs firm on the wall. This is what was thought before. Until somebody did an experiment in which a lizard was taken inside a vacuum chamber, just like the lizards on a wall. And if this was the principle by which lizards' feet would work, then in a vacuum chamber it would not work, because there's vacuum beneath the limbs and there's vacuum outside also. But the scientists observed that even inside the vacuum chamber, the gecko's feet are still sticking onto the wall. That means vacuum and air pressure is not the principle. Okay. So scientists started wondering as to what is the principle, and then they found that the gecko feet has millions of microscopic hairs, and those hairs stick to the surface, the wall. Okay. Some of you must have, how many science students are there here? Okay, some of you must have heard of Van der Waals forces. Okay, these are forces between molecules, and these forces are responsible for sticking the gecko feet onto the walls. And today, scientists are trying to design adhesive tapes which are very, very strong, because these gecko feet, the force which holds them to the wall is extremely strong. So scientists are thinking of making adhesive tapes which are very strong and which do not leave a mark. Suppose you stick an adhesive tape on a wall and then you remove it, what happens? There's a mark that's left on the wall, ugly mark is left on the wall. But when the gecko sticks its feet and removes it, there's no mark on the wall. So scientists are now trying to design adhesive tapes, super strong adhesive tapes, based on the same principle of the lizard's feet. So just imagine a small creature like the lizard, how creatively God has designed it. Photosynthesis. See, you must have heard of the energy crisis, right? Petrol is becoming costlier. Then why can't we use solar energy? So much of energy comes from the sun. Forget about petrol and diesel and all. Why can't we use solar energy? Okay. Lovely. Yeah, it's difficult to put it to use cheaply, right? People have not yet figured out how to collect it, store it, and use it conveniently. But this is what plants have been doing for thousands of years. A tiny leaf is doing a better job than the best solar panel. Right? 97% of the sunlight is getting converted to chemical energy by all the leaves that we are seeing all around us. Okay. So you see how God's creation is so much superior to the best that we can make. Dragonflies are able to fly better than any aircraft or any helicopter. They are able to change their direction. They are able to come to a stop suddenly. You are aware, right? An aircraft cannot come to a stop suddenly. Okay. And an aircraft cannot also fly in some arbitrary way. There are big limitations. It's very difficult to make an aircraft that can fly in a complicated way. Like all this Boeing 747 and all, they can only fly smoothly, gently, smoothly. But dragonflies are able to do maneuvers that today's best aircraft cannot do. Okay. the bacterial flagellum is a rotor. It's like a motor, a rotor that is there that bacteria use to go forward. Just like a ship has a rotor, the rotor goes round and round and the ship moves forward. In the same way, bacteria have a rotor, a very small rotor that is able to rotate up to 1 lakh revolutions per minute. 1 lakh revolutions per minute. Reverse its direction within a fraction of a second. Just imagine, 1 lakh revolutions per minute and then reverse its direction within a fraction of a second. But, and it is so small, it is microscopic. Okay. So it's better than any motor that human beings have built. So that suggests that this has been created. This is a dragonfly. And this is a diagram of the bacterial flagellum. Okay. So the top part, that green part, that filament, is the whip. The thing that goes round and round and round more than 1 lakh times per minute. Okay, examples of irreducible complexity. Vision. So many small, small things are there in vision. Even if one does not work properly, then the whole thing collapses. According to Darwin's theory of evolution, organism should develop slowly, slowly, step by step. So suppose there's an organism which develops a small eye, able to maybe absorb some light. Okay. At least able to distinguish between light and darkness. But the problem is that even if the eye is able to detect something, the brain also needs to have an ability to process the signals that come from the eye. So both have to be there simultaneously. Are you understanding this? Suppose an organism develops an ability to develops an eye which sees something, but if it does not develop the corresponding capability in the brain to interpret that information, then there's no use. Okay, so you see there are many things which are interrelated. Then blood clotting is another one which I was talking about in the morning. Then there is our immune system. Our immune system is like billions of keys. Billions of keys. And once a virus enters our body, or once a germ enters our body, it's like a lock has come. And you try to unlock it by testing one key after the other. You have to test billions and billions of keys, one after the other. Okay, so that's how the immune system works. Once the lock is cracked, that key is manufactured more and more and more, and thus our body is able to defeat the disease that attacks us. Okay. But this is a system which involves many interrelated parts. Even if one part fails, then the whole thing fails. So such a system could not have developed in small steps. Okay. According to Darwin's theory of evolution, there was a time when chemical reactions produced cells. Okay. What is the time? 9:10. Okay. Yeah. There was a time when cells were formed in the early earth. Okay. Chemical reactions produced cells. Now, the question is, did the earth have oxygen at that time? If yes, oxygen is a reactive element, it would destroy the cells. Oxygen destroys cells. Okay. Today, there is oxygen and our cells are not being destroyed. But that's because our cells have got a special arrangement to handle oxygen. But the first cell would not have had this special arrangement. And so, if oxygen was present in the early atmosphere, the first cells would have been destroyed. Okay. So, the atheists will say that perhaps the early atmosphere did not have oxygen. But if it did not have oxygen, it would not have ozone also. And if it does not have ozone, what will come? UV rays, ultraviolet rays of the sun will come, and they also destroy cells. Ultraviolet rays also destroy cells. So, you're gone if there's oxygen, you're gone if there's no oxygen also. It's like a catch-22 situation. Is this clear? I'll repeat it once again. If there was oxygen, the oxygen would have destroyed the first cell. Our cells are surviving because of a special arrangement they have. If there was oxygen, the first cell would have been destroyed. If there was no oxygen, there would be no ozone also, because oxygen and ozone exist in equilibrium. So if there was no oxygen, there would be no ozone. If there's no ozone, the ultraviolet rays would come and they would destroy the cells. So either way, It's gone. ATP. ATP is a molecule that undergoes a reaction to release energy. So in our body, whenever we need energy, like you want to lift something, your body needs energy. So what it does is, the body requests that a small amount of reaction takes place in which this energy is released. And thus you are able to do your work. You are able to lift the object or whatever. The compound that is involved in this reaction is ATP. Now, the catch-22 is this, that a cell cannot function without ATP. But it is also true that ATP cannot be manufactured without a cell. That is catch-22. Okay. Are you understanding this? ATP is a compound. A cell cannot function without ATP. And ATP cannot be manufactured without the cell. Is this clear? So, ATP and the cell cannot develop gradually with step-by-step processes. According to Darwin's theory, everything must have developed slowly, slowly, bit by bit. So, either ATP would have come first or the cell would have come first. But now we find that they have to be there simultaneously. But that's not step-by-step. That's all together at once. That suggests that when God made cells, He made the cell, and there and then He made the ATP also. This is clear. DNA contains information. Suppose somebody writes a language, suppose somebody writes a letter to you in Greek, what would you do? It will be of no use to you unless you have a translator who would translate that Greek to English. Right? So DNA's information also has to be translated. Okay, so there is a decoder for DNA, but the decoder itself is part of the code. So you cannot have DNA without the decoder, you cannot have the decoder also without the DNA. So again, you have a catch-22 situation. This is clear. Okay. So when God made DNA, God must have made the DNA, God must have made the decoder all together at once. Okay. The decoder itself is part of the code. So no scientist has a proper explanation as to how in a step-by-step way could both of these have formed. Nobody has a clear explanation. Yeah, I was mentioning bird lungs in the morning, right? Birds have lungs that are super efficient. Okay, there's no need for that kind of lung. Bats are able to fly with the same lungs that reptiles have. So according to Darwin's theory of evolution, reptiles evolved into birds, right? And according to them, the reptile lung also would have changed to the bird lung. But the question is why? It is possible for an animal to fly even with a reptile lung because the bat is doing that. Okay. But we have the bird lung, which is much more efficient, much more powerful. So it just seems as if God has given the birds special facilities. This super efficient lung of the bird is used or is really needed only when the bird flies at a very high altitude or when the bird flies under certain conditions like that, where the air is very thin, only then it is needed. Okay. It's not needed for survival of birds, but they have it. Okay. So this is an example of over-engineering. Then idiot savants. Idiot savants are people who are, they're not good at simple things. Okay, they may not be able to eat tidily, they may not be able to do their day-to-day jobs tidily, but they are so good when it comes to other things. They're able to buy heart huge amounts of stuff. They are able to work out complicated problems. They are able to, write very sophisticated computer programs. Okay, so they have a huge amount of intelligence which is not needed for survival. In fact, for the things that are needed for survival, they are not so good. Okay, so why make such sophisticated brains? Why make man with such a powerful brain if that is not required for survival? That's an unanswerable question for Darwin's theory. But we know that God made man to be intelligent. God made man to serve Him. So it is very understandable that God made some people very intelligent. I mean, God made people with powerful brains. Right? You have two kidneys, but even if one kidney is taken away, you can still manage with one kidney. So from an evolutionary point of view, having two kidneys is a waste of resources. Okay, it's just being extra careful for no reason. When survival is the aim, we should only have what needs, what is necessary for survival. So there's no reason for two kidneys to exist. It's like a backup. When, according to Darwin's theory, stuff evolves according to the principle of survival of the fittest. Under those circumstances, there is no need to have a backup like this. Peacock feathers are very beautiful. And when Darwin observed that, Darwin came up with an explanation for that. You know the explanation? Sexual selection. That is, Darwin thought that the peacock feathers are very pretty because the male peacock would attract the female peacock, the peahens. The female peahens would get attracted to the male peacocks because of the pretty feathers. Okay. That was Darwin's explanation. Okay. But that was an explanation which was given only because he thought that from the point of view of survival, there must be some advantage. That's why he gave that explanation. Okay. Recent research suggests that peahens don't care so much for the pretty peacock feathers. Okay. So why exactly they have it is still a mystery. I mean, for all you know, God made it just because he wanted birds to be beautiful. Right. Okay. What I'm trying to say is Darwin's explanation was found to be false. I mean, peahens don't care for the pretty peacock feathers. So peacock feathers are beautiful, although that beauty is not needed to survive. Other senses of blind people. You must be knowing this. People who are blind, they tend to be very good with their ears, very good with their sense of touch. But from the point of evolution, what sense does that make? Evolution says survival of the fittest. Forget the rest of the people. If someone is blind, to hell with him. Forget him. Let the people who have vision survive, and evolution should not care about the others. But here we find that those who are weak in one respect, they are sort of compensated for in another respect. Okay. But that does not make sense in the light of evolution. Okay, it's also an example of over-engineering. This extremely good sense of touch, extremely good sense of hearing, is because of genes, and these genes evidently are activated or used when a person becomes blind, right? But this extra sense of hearing, extra sense of touch is needed only when a person is blind. But out of 100 people, how many are blind? Probably less than one person is blind. The number of people, percentage of people who are blind is very small. So according to, from the evolutionary point of view, there should be no reason for investing genetic resources in having extra touch, extra hearing and all that. Doesn't make sense from a survival point of view. Okay. But that's what we observe. That suggests that God has inbuilt man with these features. God has inbuilt these features in us so that suppose a person becomes blind, at least he has some resources to help him to cope. Yeah. So this is the summary. Different features of living things which show that there is a creator. And the non-living world tells us that this creator is great. Surely the one who has made the sun, the moon and the stars, he has to be great. Because the universe that we see around us is so big, so powerful, so great, so vast. So this great God has got to be great. When we find our studies difficult, you should always remember this. See, many of us find maths very difficult. Yes or no? Lot of people find maths very difficult. Now, maths works on the principle of logic. Right? To do maths well, your logic has to be good. Logical ability has to be good. Now, what's the problem? Why am I mentioning this here? If you try to study the things that God has made, example, stars, people, atoms, molecules, whatever, you find that there is a lot of maths involved in it. Okay. That suggests that the God that we have is an extremely logical, intelligent God. Are you understanding this? Are you getting my point? When you find it difficult to solve a maths problem, like in 10th standard, like suppose something in factorization, finding LCM, or in 11th and 12th calculation, calculus, that is differentiation, integration and all, you find it difficult. Now, that is nothing compared to the maths that is required just, for instance, to describe light. There was a believer scientist, his name is Maxwell, James Maxwell, and he discovered that light is an electromagnetic wave. And if you see the maths that's involved in Maxwell's derivations, it is far more complicated than the maths that we study in 11th and 12th. But our God said, let there be light, and there was light. And just to describe that light, we need so many differential equations, we need so much of integration, we need so much of vectors, that it would be mind-boggling for any one of us to describe that maths, to do that maths. Okay. But that, so when you find maths difficult, just think about this, how intelligent must be our Creator who thought about all these things. Are you getting my point? Yes? Understanding. Okay. You know who discovered the law of gravity? Newton. Then after Newton, Albert Einstein came up with a more sophisticated theory of gravity. But in 11th and 12th standard, we have Newton's law of gravity to study. And even the maths that was involved in Newton's law of gravity is just about manageable for 11th and 12th standard students. Once in Europe, a problem was given. It was about Newton's laws of gravity. And a king offered a very large sum of money. And many people attempted the problem. And nobody was able to solve the problem. The problem was that suppose there are three bodies, like the sun, earth and the moon. Then we have to predict their motion precisely using Newton's law of gravity. And it turned out to be too complicated. Newton managed to do it for two bodies. Like suppose we have the sun and the earth, then tell me how the sun and the earth will move. Newton was able to solve that problem. And that problem by itself also is not there completely for 11th and 12th. Okay. But this is Newton's theory. Einstein's theory of gravity is much more complicated, involves much more abstract mathematics. So when God created the universe, He would have thought about all these things. Are you understanding this? Suppose you find chemistry difficult. Yeah? Many people find chemistry difficult. Yeah? Many people find chemistry difficult. The chemical reactions that we have to study are nothing compared to the chemical reactions that go in our body. Right? You have compounds like NaCl and H2O. These are such small compounds compared to the compounds that are there inside our body. Okay, but God thought about all these things in just moments when He made. He said, let the earth bring forth animals, and so many animals were created. All their DNA, all their chemical reactions, all their cycles, everything. So, what I want to say is that when you find science or maths difficult, give glory and honor to the Creator. He was thinking about all of it. Okay. Any questions or comments about these things? Any conversations that anyone has had about this topic with anyone else? Any things that were said? Yeah? Yeah? Someone said something? Yeah, yeah. Ask now, no? You want to mic? Everyone has have you heard of Big Bang Theory? The Big Bang Theory is the atheistic, most popular atheistic explanation as to how the universe came about. So according to this theory, there was a big explosion or a big expansion. All the matter of the universe was in a very small capsule, and this capsule expanded rapidly, and then stars and galaxies and the solar system and everything was formed. Okay? This is what is called as the Big Bang Theory. Now, this is not the only theory that exists. Atheists themselves have come up with other theories also. But the Big Bang Theory is the most popular theory among atheists today. Now, I want to answer two questions. First is, does the Big Bang Theory agree with the Bible? Second is the Big Bang Theory supported by evidence or not? Okay. First question is the Big Bang Theory in harmony with the Bible? The answer is no. Okay. Because in the Bible, you find an order which is different from what is given in the Big Bang Theory. It says, in the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. Whereas in the Big Bang Theory, earth comes much, much later. Okay. In the Bible, it says that God has stretched out the heavens. But, which means, it's okay to say that the universe is expanded. God has stretched out the heavens. But that does not mean that there has been an explosion. The Big Bang is supposed to be an explosion. An explosion, and afterwards dust was formed, and then atoms were formed, and then slowly, slowly galaxies were formed. And then after a very long time, our sun was formed, and then our earth was formed. Whereas in the Bible, it says God created the heavens and the earth on the first day. The sun, moon, stars were made on the fourth day. The sun was made on the fourth day. The earth was already there on the first day. Okay? So Big Bang Theory does not agree with the Bible. That's the first question. Second question is, when an atheist says that, you know, science explains everything, see the Big Bang Theory is there, everything is explained. Okay. That is also not true. There is a website, it's called, just hold it. This is a website prepared by secular scientists, and it's a protest website against the Big Bang Theory. That is, atheistic scientists themselves have created this site. What they are saying in this site is, there's an open letter to the scientific community saying that, why is disagreement with the Big Bang Theory not tolerated when it does not explain everything? Okay. So according to secular scientists themselves, the Big Bang Theory has a lot of flaws. Okay. So if someone says that, see, Genesis 1 is not true, the Big Bang Theory explains everything, that's not true. Atheistic scientists themselves have found faults with the Big Bang Theory. Okay. Is it? Yeah. That is the only bone in the human body which grows again. There is the rib bone is the only bone in the human body that grows again when it is taken out. That is known to be a scientific fact today. Yeah, yeah. It is the only bone that grows back in the same way. No. See, other bones, they'll grow in the sense, they'll, if you break the bone, it joins, it rejoins again. In that sense, they grow. But the rib bone, it actually grows completely again. It is the only bone in the human body that completely grows again. That's the answer.
Genetically, the atom was created with the same bone. So his children will have the same bone.
That's also true. I mean, today if my hand is cut off, my child is not going to. Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions, comments? explain about existence of God? I would say the simplest thing is information. One word. Human beings, all organisms have got information. Information comes only from the actions of an intelligent mind. Therefore, there has to be a creator. That's the simplest argument. It's also an argument that is impossible to crack. See, if you say that there is a lot of order in the world, order can come just out of chaos. Right? Even if you point to some capabilities, like, see, this organism can do that, that organism can do that. Well, organisms also become resistant to drug on their own. So it's possible for an organism to develop capabilities on its own. So that's a sort of weak argument. But information is a very strong argument. Anything else? Okay, then we'll stop here.